would take your Bible. Turn to 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 is we're going to be there. Thessalonians, these folks were concerned. They thought they were in the middle of the tribulation. And, of course, Paul is going to comfort their hearts and minds and explain to them what's going to take place before that happens, or right at the same time how things are going to take place, I guess. And he sets things in order so they would have a better understanding of these things. This is a good chapter to go to and to study. But he's going to give them some instruction and some help. And so we're going to look at this afternoon. I'm going to read 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 in just a moment. Everybody can get there and find your place, and I'll let you sit down today. And we'll just look as it talks about the events and how those are going to be lined up. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Sorry, I turned it off. I'm so used to clicking the button. All right, let's begin reading verse 1. It says, "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him," what a day that's going to be, "that ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? And now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let, until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness, of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. But we are bound to give thanks alway to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself, and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again as we come to you, and we thank you for the word of God. We thank you for the men and women of God that you allowed to pin these things, that we might be able to go back and study them and have the mind of Christ and have the understanding of your word, that we might know what to look for in the future, understanding that your timing is perfect, although we do not know exactly when that's going to happen. We do know that there are signs, and today we could probably say that everything that needs to be fulfilled is fulfilled for you to come back. Father, we're looking forward to that day, but as you have us tarrying here, I pray you give us the strength, the wisdom, and understanding to accomplish that which you've left us here to do. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. So here he's talking about the day of the Lord, if you will. It's when the Lord's going to come back. He's talking about this situation that's happening, and it's a twofold. The day of the Lord is a period of time that not only Jesus is going to come back for the saints, but after that there's going to be a 7-year period of tribulation, and then Jesus is going to come back, and he's going to come back to this earth, and he's going to deal with the situation that's going on. Of course, God's going to pour his wrath out upon the earth for those 7 years, but these Thessalonians were going through struggles. They were having difficulties in their lives at the time, And so in their mind, they were thinking they were in the midst of the tribulation. They're wondering if this already passed by and they missed out. And so Paul is trying to comfort their hearts, as he said in that last verse in chapter 2, and trying to reveal to them the plan that God has revealed to him, or Jesus has revealed to him. And so the day of the Lord, it's something that everybody's looking forward to, that is Christians. It's the second advent. It's the day of Jehovah. It's the great day. 2 Peter 3:10. Go ahead and turn over there for a second. Hold your place in 1 Thessalonians. See if we can hang on to that. And just go over to 2 Peter chapter 3. Peter writes about this and speaks on it. So we have a lot of teaching on this and how these things are going to pass. There's Old Testament teaching and New Testament. There's prophecies of this, and we'll look at that in just a moment. But here, Peter's writing. He's talking about this very thing, about what's going to happen. Let's see here. I'm going to start in verse 7. So 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. And he's talking about a period of time when people are looking out and they're thinking, well, nothing's happening. Everything's continuing as it is. There's no change. And talking about the things are going to change. Well, we don't really believe it kind of idea. But in verse 7, he says, "But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, 1,000 years is one day." In other words, there's no time with God. He's not kept under the restraints that we are. We have time. God made that for us. In verse 9 it says, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, some men count slackness, but is longsuffering toward us. We're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." And then verse 10 it says, "But." God wants everybody to be saved, but this is going to happen. He says, "The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of person ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness." So he's telling us a little bit about Revelation. He's telling us about the fact what's going to happen to the earth. We know there's going to come a time right before the judgment seat that there's going to be a new earth and a new heaven, when those will be judged, the quick and the dead, those that will be pulled out of the sea and everywhere. And it's the great white throne judgment, where those that are going to be judged are the lost, those that have never put their faith and trust in Christ. There's also this great and terrible day of the Lord. Joel, he says this in Joel chapter 2, verses 30 through 32, says, "And I will show wonders in the heavens, in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, the moon into blood, before the great and terrible day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered." I love these messages. You see it in Peter. You see it here again. God gives that message again. This is what's going to happen, but there's still salvation. There's still hope if you put your faith and trust in Jesus. He says, "So and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion and Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord has said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call." So during the tribulation period, there will be people saved. Do we know how many people there are going to be saved? No, we don't, do we? But we do know that there's going to be 144,000 Jewish people, because he tells us that, doesn't he? Two places in the Bible. I think it's chapter 7 and 14, if I remember. But he reminds us of that. This dealings that he's talking about, tribulation period, is the dealings that God has for Israel. And it was always been planned that way. Go to Matthew chapter 24 for a second, talking about the day of the Lord. In Matthew chapter 24, this is the Olivet Discourse. Jesus is talking about end times. He's talking about just as Daniel had prophesied. I think it's in chapter 24, verse 15, but we're going to be in verse 27, that these things would start to come to pass. And he gives us signs and wonders, and we can see some of those things today. We see the earthquakes. We see the destruction. We see the pestilence. We see all these things happening. And, of course, they've happened for a long time. Again, we don't know when the Lord's coming back. We don't know how bad it has to be. But we always need to be thinking and be mindful that it could be today. And we need to set our hearts and minds on those things of the Lord today and not put those off thinking, well, it'll be another 10 years because it could be today. And in Matthew chapter 24, look at verse 27, it says, "For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heaven shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from four winds, from the end of heaven to the other." This is talking about Jews. It's talking about the Great Tribulation. This is when this happens and takes place. So, the Day of Judgment. In John chapter 5, verse 22, it says, "For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son, Jesus Christ himself." It talks about the sheep and goats will be revealed and separated during this time in Matthew chapter 25. It would be a day of reckoning that we would never even understand, even from reading this, how bad that's really going to be. So it's going to take place. It's going to happen. And so Paul is trying to encourage these Thessalonians about this because they're thinking, hey, I'm right in the middle of this, or we're going through troubles, tribulation, and so we must be in the tribulation period. So back to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, he says, "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand." Verse 3 says, "Let no man deceive you by any means." And so this was the thing. They were hearing things. They were seeing things in their mind. They think, this is happening right now. We're in the middle of this. And he's going to explain that there's going to be something that happens. He says, "For that day shall not come except there come a following away first." So this is the first thing that happens, a following away. Well, we can see that now, and it's been happening ever since. In fact, go to 2 Timothy chapter 3, and you can hold your place here. We see that's happened over the course of time. And it's been said that, of course, we don't know when the Lord's coming back. But he's always prepared. He's got somebody in place because there are many antichrist, if you will, that it could take place any time, any period. Only God knows when that's going to happen. And he gets to decide that. Where am I going, Timothy? 2 Timothy chapter 3. Paul, he's writing about these things as he's written to these folks. He wrote this in 2 Timothy chapter 3. He says, "This know also, that in the last days," now he's speaking of these very things, the following away, "perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves." We know that's true today. We see it. It's in our society. In fact, it's preached all the time about loving yourself, about buying this and buying that so you can be better or you can look better or whatever it is they want you to be. Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. It's true. We see it today. Unthankful, unholy, without natural affection. Men chasing men, women chasing women, and vice versa, and the rest of it, and anything else that goes along with that. It says, "Truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce despisers of those that are good." You ever worked a job and went into it brand new? Now, this just came in my head. I hope this works. But you know, when you go into a new job and you don't know what to expect, I mean, you know a little bit about it, but you want to make the best impression you can make. You want to be the best employee you can be. Now, for the Christian, that all the way we think every day when we go to work, right? But in that new job, you go into it. I don't even know if kids think this way anymore. But back in my day, that's what we thought, is you go in and you want to be the best you can be. So you listen to what the boss says, and you're going to do all those things he tells you. And then the other guys that are hanging around, they come and they start giving you a hard time. They call you different names. I'm not going to mention any of those. And they're talking about the fact that you're just doing this work and you're trying to, you know, make yourself look good and all this stuff. And they get mad because you're doing good. And also you're making them look bad because they've learned the ropes. They know where the hideouts are. They know when the boss is around and when he's not around. They know when they got to work hard and when they don't have to work hard. Is that making any sense? You understand what I'm saying? And so they don't like anybody coming in and messing up their game plan, so to speak. But as Christians, that ought to be our game plan every single day. And if you're working and they're not, and they don't get it, they're not going to be happy with you. And again, he says this is going to happen. It is going to happen. And it is happening right now. Verse 4 says, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. We see this all throughout society. Lovers of pleasures more than God. He says, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. There are churches on top of churches. There are people who claim to be Christians all over the nation, and yet they don't know anything about the power of God because they've never experienced, number one, probably salvation. Number two, they have no idea what it is to live a life separated to God. No idea, because they're not taught it. Today in Christian circles, we don't teach, or people don't teach that there is something called separation, that God does have a plan for Christians that's different than the world, and that we aren't chasing all the dreams and things the world has to offer. There's something different. He says, when these things happen, they have the form of godliness, but no power thereof. Ever learning, I skipped 6, for of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lust. It's getting crazy. Ever learning and never able to come to truth, to come to the knowledge of the truth. And that's exactly what's happening today. He says, this is the way he's talking about, a falling away. This is when things are happening. Now, we've seen this for a long time. It's still happening. And it's still going to continue because it's going to get worse and worse and worse. When God saw a man on the earth back in Genesis, he didn't see anybody, although Noah found grace in the sight of the Lord. He was the only one. But it repented him that he made man because of their wickedness and evilness. I think it's evil and wickedness. And that's where we're going today. We haven't reached that place. There's still people who love the Lord. There's still people trying to serve the Lord. There's people praying for this country. And so God says it's not time yet. And the only reason I can say that, because we're still here. Because he knows it could be this time right now. It could be before we leave this church that we might be face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ. Who knows? Could happen. So here he's talking about this falling away in 2 Timothy chapter 4. Very familiar passage. Again, look at this. He's given Timothy a charge, and he's telling him to preach the word, but he tells him what's going to happen. And we see it today. Verse 3, it says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. They're not going to take the word of God and obey it. They're not going to humble themselves to God. They're not going to say, oh, that's what the Bible says. No, they're going to say, this is the way I feel. Or this is the way I think about it. This is the way I think it ought to be. And they're going to find somebody that will tell them those things, he says here. There will come a time when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. I've never went to Joel's church, but I've heard him preach. Back up, I heard him speak before. I don't think I've ever heard him preach, but people love that. I mean, that place is filled, wall-to-wall people. They want to hear that. They don't want to hear sound doctrine, because if they did, that church would scatter. It'd probably be looking like our church in that big auditorium. Many are called, but few are chosen, the Bible says. Because few will follow God. A time of falling away. 1 Timothy 4:1 says, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. 2 Peter 3:3, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last day scoffers walking after their own lusts. We were there just a few minutes ago, weren't we? So he said there's going to be a falling away first. And we can relate to that today. It's today we can look out and say, that's happening right now. But maybe it's not as bad as it needs to be before the Lord comes back. Because again, we don't know that. He comes as a thief in the night. No man knows that. And Paul is teaching this church here that you're not there yet. It's not happened yet. Yes, you're struggling. There are some tribulations. That's part of the Christian life. But you're not going through the great tribulation. It's not happened. So back in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, in verse 3, so he told him that watch out for people that will deceive you about this. He said, except there come a following away first. And then he says, the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. He's talking about the Antichrist here. This guy that comes in and he brings in heresies and damnable doctrines. He's the very guy that was in heaven. This angel called Lucifer. He was there with God. He saw God. Of course, he's a created being. Jesus, by the way, is not a created being. I hope you know that. A lot of people want to confuse you. And I believe it's in Colossians where they'll take you to try to confuse you. In Isaiah here in chapter 14, verse 12 through 15, says, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit, God reminds him and tells him. And of course, that's exactly what happened. That's why he is the God of this world today. That's why there's a battle raging. It's a spiritual battle that we have to fight day in and day out. We have to get up in the morning and fight Satan. Do we read our Bible or not? Well, sometimes it's ourselves we're fighting, but Satan's always wanting to put something in your way to divert your attention, to get you to do something else. He'll use people. He'll use things. He can use anything that will get your attention. He cannot read your mind, but he does know what you do. He knows your habits. He knows your lifestyle. And so that gives him the opportunity to present things into your life that might be pleasing to you and misguide you and mislead you. He will do that. He is as a roaring lion. You can't trust him. And that's why it's always important when you are about to do something and you're trying to serve the Lord to make sure that you check it with God. Is this of you or this of God? There have been people led that have been called missionaries that have been led by Satan and not God. It can happen because they have a certain desire that they want to do a certain thing. Now, God gives us the desires of our heart, but sometimes it's not where he wants us. Paul is an example. He had a desire to go, and the Holy Spirit took him and called him to go into, is it Macedonia or Asia? It's a Macedonian call. Huh? Yeah. And God changed his direction. Although what he was doing was good, but if he wouldn't have went that way, that wouldn't have been of God, but that would have been his own desire. And he would have been misled by that. It can happen. No matter what, we got to watch out for the devil. He's there. He wants to destroy us, maim us, kill us, mislead us, and misdirect us. He is the one who was subtle in the garden and convinced Eve to eat of that tree of the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil. Do you see how powerful he is? If he could do that to Eve, and then Adam disobey and cast all humanity into sin, how easy would it be for him to mislead me and guide me to where I shouldn't be? It's easy. There's this falling away. The Antichrist is going to be revealed. Jesus warned of his coming in John chapter 17, verse 11, 12. He says, and now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep thou thine own name, keep through thine own name those who thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. The son of perdition, the same one we're talking about here, one of the antichrist, or the antichrist is going to come. This antichrist is going to worship the beast. Turn back to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24. You know, when I get 70, I'm going to have little pieces of paper everywhere here that I know I've got to go, and I'll finally learn instead of having to keep. But in Matthew 24, now let's look at verse 15 we talked about already. And he's talking about this situation. He says, "And when ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel." So now he's going back and he's referring back to Scripture, Old Testament Scripture in the book of Daniel. "Stand in the prophet, stand in the holy place. Whoso readeth, let him understand. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight might not be in winter, neither on the Sabbath day. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Then if any man shall say unto you, Lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall rise false Christ and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very," he says, "elect. Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, Behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not." We're not the very elect it's talking about here. We understand that this Olivet discourse is talking about the Jewish nation. This is during the tribulation period. This is when these people are going to be needing to flee and go hide and get away. He's talking about this time. And Paul is trying to help them and understand them that this is not the time we're in now. We're not in the tribulation period. This is what the tribulation period is going to be like, as we have seen references from Jesus and others. But the Antichrist will not be able to do what he wants to do yet. The devil himself cannot do everything he wants to do yet. Even with Job, what did Satan have to do? He had to go before God and get permission. I believe that's true today, that Satan has to get permission sometimes if he's going to want to do something to me or you or whatever it may be, that fact. He doesn't have free reign completely. He can mislead us and misguide us and try to get us to do things. But he's not going to have free reign, of course, until the Holy Spirit is gone. In 2 Thessalonians, go back to that passage. He told us that there'll be a falling away. He told us that the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. And he says, "Who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God?" This is Satan at his best, the Antichrist himself. He opposes everything about God. In fact, he not only opposes everything about God, he is also setting up everything to mirror God. He wants to fool people to people think that he is God. He's got a trinity, just like God has a trinity. And so he's trying to destroy and maim and kill all that he can. He says in that passage, verse 4 says, "Or that is," okay, "whoso opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God," talking about the Antichrist. He says, "Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things?" He said, I told you these, remember? He says, verse 6, "And now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work," it's already happening, "only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way." And so he's talking about here, who letteth is the Spirit of God. God has got the Spirit of God still here, he resides here. Where does the Spirit of God reside? Is he in the foyer? Is he in your car? Maybe he's out there somewhere waiting. Where is the Spirit of God? He's in the believer. So as long as we're here, There is a force that does not give Satan a free rein to do whatever he wants. As long as we're here following God, we have power to accomplish things that he cannot do yet. He's not allowed to do yet. And as long as we're here, as we're on this earth, there's still hope for others also. John chapter 14, just as a reminder, he says, "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide in you forever." That's where the Holy Spirit is. The Holy Spirit is here today. He's in Adam. He's in Matt. He's in Greg. He's in Kirk. That's where he lives. And as long as you're here and we collectively are here, Satan can do nothing. So the Holy Spirit is holding back Antichrist. In verse 7, it says, "For the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth will let." That word "he" there is representing the Holy Spirit. It's a pronoun for the Holy Spirit here. So when's this going to occur? When's this going to happen? Take your Bibles and go back to the next book, 1 Thessalonians. So God, Paul is writing to this church and he's trying to encourage them in these things, and they, just like all of us, forget easy. They don't have the Word of God. They can sit and read every day. We are so blessed. In verse 13, chapter 4, he begins, he says, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep." So they also had they wondered or thought, what happens to those who die that are in Christ? Those that were saved, put their faith and trust in Christ, and they die. Well, Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, he told us to be absent in the body is to be present with the Lord. But the body's still in the grave. What happens to them? And so he's trying to help them with some knowledge that they too might understand. He says, "Concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope." He's saying, as Christians, we don't have to sorrow like other people when someone passes away, especially a Christian. When my mother passed away, I mean, I was excited about the fact that she was with the Lord. I missed her. Often there are times when I think about her and I miss her. When I see one of those big honey buns, you know, the one's got icing all over it, I miss my mom. It just reminds me. She used to bring those home. But I miss her. But you know, I was excited the fact that I knew she knew that she knew that she was a Christian. She was in Christ, asleep, and she was already with my Lord and Savior. Her body wasn't. Now, my sister, it was terrible. It's hard on her today. She asked me, she says, "Bruce, why don't you go see Mom's grave?" And I tried to explain to her. I said, "Mom's not there." Now, her body's there. That's fine. But you know what? We're in the passage that tells us it won't be there forever. It's there right now, but my mom's in heaven. She's with her Lord and her Savior. So Paul's writing, verse 14 says, "For if we believe," now see, there's a condition there. Don't gloss over it. It says, "If we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even to them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him." The condition is if you believe. And if you believe, what's going to take place is that God's going to bring you with him. Or Jesus will bring. Sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Verse 15, "For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep." He's saying, we're not stopping anybody. He says, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first," the bodily resurrection. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. The Holy Spirit just took off in every believer and met with the Lord. Now we know the Holy Spirit works in the tribulation period. I believe it works similar to maybe what it worked in the Old Testament. The Old Testament, the Spirit came upon people. The New Testament, the Spirit indwells the believer. So when we leave this place, we're out. The Spirit is going to not stop Satan doing what Satan wants to do anymore. The Antichrist will be revealed, and he's going to make his peace with Israel for 7 years. And we know that's not going to last. For 3.5 years it will last, but then he will go and he will attack Israel along with the nations, the 100 million, 200 million Chinese, Dr. Childs used to say. But so Paul is expressing this to them, saying, you're okay, you're still here, you got the Spirit of God, it's not the tribulation period. When it comes, you will start recognizing these things. You'll see the falling away. And the son of perdition is already here if the Lord comes back soon. He may already be here. He already may be adult. Right now, today, if the Lord comes back tomorrow, then he will step up to the plate and be revealed. Now, we've all had speculation over the years. I've heard Christians say, well, of course, obviously, Hitler. It must have been Hitler. Mussolini. I've heard them talk about presidents. Well, it must be this president or that president or whatever. We don't know who it is, nor will we, until he is revealed. We will be gone. And he is going to have free reign with our friends, the people we know that don't know Christ. Free reign to do what he wants. And it's a terrible time. We're not going into the book of Revelation today, but it's a terrible time. I'm glad that I'm not going to be here and that you're not going to be here. You think life is bad now? Do you ever get angry? Do you ever get frustrated? Do you ever get mad? Sure you do. But that's the worst it gets. Buddy, for the lost, that's the best it gets. There's no better. Let's go ahead and see if we can go on and finish this up. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 again. And verse 8 says, and then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Revelation 19, we're not going there today. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with his deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. Those people that have been witnessed to. Now, let me say something, because I'm going to read this next section. Not everybody that's been shared the gospel has understood the gospel. Do we understand that? Just because I've heard people say this, they've already heard. Just because they heard doesn't mean they understood. If they understood, we're going to see clearly what can happen to them. But if they didn't understand the gospel, which many people don't, they're not under this same situation. Because look at the next thing. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. If a person has sat down, you presented the gospel, and you don't know if this person has, maybe you do, because you can tell sometimes. But they're struggling with it, and they're going, maybe they even say this. I've heard people say this to me. I'm not ready right now. I know I'd be saved, but I'm not ready right now. They probably understand the gospel. And if they understand the gospel and they don't get saved before the rapture or the Antichrist is revealed, they go into the tribulation period. And God is going to purpose to send a strong delusion. So even if someone came to them, opened the Bible and shared the Bible, they will not believe. He says they'll believe a lie. That's a terrible thing. But I believe that's somebody who has understood the gospel and has rejected it, clearly understood it. Not me just saying, let me tell you three things. It took me years to understand the gospel. clearly understand. He's going to deceive, destroy, devour. Matthew 13:9. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one, catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received the seed by the wayside. Remember the sowing. Remember the devil's a liar. John chapter 8, verse 44. So there are going to be people that will never be overcomers. 1 John chapter 2, verse 13. I write unto you, fathers, because ye have known him, that is, from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because ye have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because ye have known the Father. An overcomer, 1 John chapter 5, is someone who is born again. That's what it says. So those that are not born again could be in this situation if they've heard a clear presentation of the gospel. They are not saved. They have no hope. There is no help for them. And there will be no life with God. It will be separated from God, with God for eternity, ever and ever. In Jude chapter 1, verse 4 and 5, it says, for there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our Lord into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. I therefore put you in remembrance, though ye once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. There is precedent for this. There's history for this, I guess. And, of course, the great white throne of judgment, we're not going to go there today. In verse 12, he says that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. That's a sad story. Just looking at those couple verses, that should also remind us how important it is. I've heard people say they've heard it. They don't need to hear it again. Please don't ever think that way. Because when you think that way, you're not really understanding. Just because you heard it, you may not understood it. Even at your best try, you may not be able to get through to a person. Because the Spirit has to draw. We all understand that, right? Just because I say the words doesn't mean always that they're under conviction or any of that. That's why you give the hope that's in you over and over. If I didn't happen to speak to my mom that last time, who knows? Now, I didn't get the opportunity to reap the salvation. I just got to plant seeds and water it. But that was the only time that I shared with my mother that she sat still and listened. All the times before that, she'd get up and she'd do something. She'd go get my grandmother and have my grandmother say something stupid. You believe in Santa Claus, don't you, mother? My grandmother is a Christian, and I just cringe because my kids are there. I'm going, really? Grandmother, come on. You know, she was just a good old Southern Baptist, you know. But anyway, there's an urgency about this. Let's go ahead and I'll read the last verses and we'll close. He says, but we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which ye have been taught. Again, they don't have this completed canon. They have what Paul taught them when he went there and encouraged them. He says, whether by word or our epistle, this letter he's writing them and the one he wrote before. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace. And just like in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, we saw that he said similar words as comfort your hearts and establish you in every good work and work. Every good word and work. So that's what he wants, is to comfort ourselves in Jesus Christ, in the Word of God, and the work that he's called us to do. There is going to be a time when that falling away happens, and we don't know, because I look today and I tell you, we're falling away. But then the son of perdition is going to be revealed, and we're going to be out of here, and those left behind. It's not going to be like the movies Left Behind. I don't know if you've ever watched those, but it's not going to be like that at all. There will be people saved, but there's going to be a lot of people that can't be saved. And so we have the opportunity to live a Christian life, to give a clear testimony of Christ, and help others see Christ. And it's not me or you or anybody else, but it's through the power of Jesus Christ and the Spirit of God that lives inside of us that is able to do this. Because God draws them. We're the messengers. And our lives and what we say, if they don't match up, it's going to be hard for someone else to reconcile what you're saying because it doesn't make sense. But if they see your life and the words line up to what you're saying, there's a difference. Now, you're proof of the fact that Jesus Christ changes a person's life. And that's amazing because other people can be saved too. You were saved and others can be too. All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you again for this word. We thank you for Paul and many writings that he has written. Father, we thank you that we can hold the word of God dear to ourselves and study it, and we can look into it and find out your plan. Father, the secret things of God. By comparing Scripture with Scripture, we can come to the knowledge and understanding of the things that you want us to do to help us to live the life you've called us to live. Father, and I pray that each one in this room, that you would strengthen them, undergird them, Father. Help them to look to you and to walk with you and to trust you in every matter of their lives. We thank you again for all that you do and how you continue to meet and bless us. We thank you so much in Jesus' name.